The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack, it just... It was approximately 42 minutes after I got off the plane on the Emerald Isle that I started talking in an Irish accent. You know me, Gabe. Never one to pass up an opportunity to practice my accents.
Did people hit you for doing an Irish accent? I feel going to Ireland and doing an Irish accent in front of people's kind of a faux pas.
Really? You think just doing accents in general is a faux pas?
No, if you're like doing it now away from them, but if you're like doing the accent to their face, that seems a little insulting, is it not?
I was doing it to anyone's face other than my husband's, and he got over it real quick. You know, it took about 20 minutes of me practicing. Had a wonderful time in Ireland, but yes, I did practice my Irish accent, yet I spoke in an Irish accent on game day on Saturday morning. Because I was talking about Pat McAfee and this punter from Georgia Tech who watched Pat McAfee's videos on YouTube to learn how to punt. He is an Ireland native who punts for Georgia Tech. You probably saw the story if you were watching the game. Talked about him a lot. And the one name he gave us of somebody he watched on YouTube was Patrick McAfee. So that's what we did for game day that morning. And I was wondering if you think, just generally speaking, we should avoid doing accents of other countries or regions. Like, is that a thing that we should avoid doing?
Yeah, to their face, yes. You should avoid doing it right to their face. Yes, I would agree with that. Like, southern accent? Like, you're going to do a southern accent, really, like, deep in the heart of Louisiana? Doubt it.
That's a good point.
I think it's a little more nuanced.
What do you mean?
There's certain things that can come off as you wouldn't seem like the best person.
Like insulting.
Yes.
For instance, and this I think always comes up, several years ago when Ed Orgeron, who everybody knows, the former LSU head coach, and he was a native Louisianan. Is that how you say that? Louisianan?
I think so.
Yeah. Sounds right.
How else to do it? So let's just go with it. He had a very distinctive speech pattern. And there were a lot of times during the college football season where people would mimic Ed Orgeron's accent. And after several weeks of people doing the grumble, grumble, grumble thing, people were like, let's stop doing that. Because it seemed as though you were poking fun at him.
Correct.
Or you were, you know, ridiculing his speech pattern. I don't know if it's the same if you go to a country and just start to try to talk. Like when you go to Scotland.
Yeah.
Don't tell me, Gabe. Like I'm going to tell you right now on August, whatever it is. I don't know. College football season has started. I have no concept of days and times and whatnot. What is it? The 26th?
26th.
Okay. On August 26th, don't tell me that when you go to Scotland, you're not going to be tempted to practice a Scottish accent.
Like going into the country before I go there?
No. Like when you get there, because you'll be surrounded by it.
Well, so like hear it, certainly, but like I'm not sitting there like then going back to wherever we're staying and practicing my Scottish accent.
Well, but I'm saying you're going to. Like that's the thing. Like,
but I've already I'm not going to.
You're gonna be with your pals and somebody's gonna say something to you and you're gonna love the way that it rolls off their tongue and you're gonna find yourself saying it in the sky. I'm telling you today this is how it works.
Well, but I've been to Scotland before. I have been there and I have not done it. I was with the people, you hear the caddies, you know, you're talking with every people, you know, I'm not going to try the Scottish accent.
What? Why?
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Because again, I don't want to like start doing the Scottish accent and then have like the waiter come up at the table we're sitting at and next thing you know, he's right behind me and just like Josh said, oh, now I'm making fun of these people.
But if you're not making fun of them, if it's all just lighthearted and in an admiration capacity... Which is what it was.
So how do you specifically get the accent right to show the admiration versus doing the accent that can be interpreted
you
of making fun?
You have to practice. This is what I'm saying. You can't just go out there willy-nilly and try to do an accent and get it right. You have to practice it. And that's what I was doing to my lovely husband
the entire time. In your estimation, the more accurate the accent, the more likely the people are to not be offended?
Yeah, I think the better you nail it, the less likely they're like, oh, what a good representation of our accent. That's what I think. Now, again, at the beginning when you're
have you ever once heard anyone do any accent, whether it's the Midwest accent, whether it's the Southern accent, the New York accent, where someone went, oh, what a great representation of how we speak up here. Oh, that's a jolly... Like, no, well, nobody says that.
True, but couldn't they be laughing? Couldn't they be like, ha ha ha, good attempt, or ha ha ha, good try? Like, I don't think it has to automatically be considered a negative. That's my point. I don't think it... Like, one of the things we heard a lot in Ireland, and I was not ready for this, but this is a customary comment by people in Ireland, is, no worries. No worries. Like, that's, you know, when they say no problem. Like, you say no problem. No worries. So by the end, we were all on the game day crew saying to each other, no worries.
You wouldn't say that to...
No, I don't think you say it to an Irish person.
So what you're saying is you're understanding what we're saying.
You're just purposefully... So the nuance is that as I'm practicing the Irish accent, I can do it to my peers and my friends and my colleagues, but I should not try to order my dinner in an Irish accent, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So I didn't do any of that. I wasn't conversing with local Irish people with my attempts to, you know, do the Irish accent. It was more of like
intimate. And you understand why?
Well, because I didn't want them to think I was making fun of them.
There we go.
That's right. Yes. But again, I want to make sure that the intent is out there. I was not making fun of anybody. It was just fun to practice an Irish accent when we were in Ireland. Did anybody watch the game by chance? Did you guys see Florida State lose to Georgia Tech in the opening game of the season?
Most certainly did.
And how did you feel about that? Couldn't happen turns to a better out, bunch of folks?
Well, turns out your boy, DJ Ukulele, just not very good at playing quarterback.
Wait, do we have that drop still? Can you find the DJ Ukulele drop?
It is in here. I'll need a minute. We haven't played it in a while.
I mean, the last time I think we played it, he was still at Clemson.
Yeah, and then he went out to Oregon State, and now he's at Florida State. And Dario and I were watching the game together. First of all, beautiful stadium. You probably saw it on television. Aviva was fantastic. But it was very clear he did not want to throw the ball downfield.
Correct.
And it would appear, or, you know, just, I'm...
Found it.
There it is. That is such an old reference. Like, only the OGs of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy remember the DJ Ukulele drop. So it's nice that we could bring that back in as he and Florida State lost to Georgia Tech.
Unfortunately, because they lost, I think our dream is officially dead of Jen somehow having to talk about DJ Uyunglele and calling him accidentally ukulele.
Yeah, but
I don't know how much
time he's been around so long, Gabe, that like nobody were... I mean, although some of the Irish broadcasters were struggling with his name, which is understandable.
Again, Jen, the dream is very much alive. How long have you been broadcasting?
At ESPN?
No, just in general.
Oh, 20 plus years.
And you dropped an F-bomb just 2 weeks ago.
On the radio.
The dream is alive.
Anything is possible, really. I think we're getting that here, folks. I think one of the things that we were talking about on game day, and we are going to continue talking about this week, is that just because Florida State lost, you got to rewire your thinking, college football fans. You got to rewire your thinking that losing a game like that first week of the season somehow kicks you out of the playoff picture. Because if Florida State goes on to win the ACC, they are not only very much alive, they'll be one of the top-ranked teams, Gabe. It's crazy.
Yeah, but also, you probably should be worried if you're losing to Georgia Tech. Yeah. It's not like it's a football powerhouse. The problem with that is they're starting the season off with a conference loss.
Hold on.
Yes, hold on. Good morning, Chewy. Welcome
there
to the program.
Hello. Georgia Tech won the national championship when I was in college. So it's not a horrible program.
I don't think anyone is saying it is a horrible program.
It's not an elite program.
Yes.
It's not elite, but I tell you what, Ungalale, where's he going next?
I think he's out.
Done.
The UFL?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he, Jen, you asked why didn't he throw it downfield? He can't.
The answer is simple.
Fairly obvious.
Yeah.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
Are they out? I don't think they are. They could run the table and still get in.
Yeah, but I don't think they're running the table is the problem.
Well, I was blown away by the defense. Their defense is terrible.
Well, and all of that hype, even Pete Thamel was on game day Saturday morning saying that a bunch of NFL scouts had said this could be the best defensive line whatever the distinction was. And then, of course, Georgia Tech, which, again, we're not taking anything away from Georgia Tech. They obviously came in very prepared to play at a high level, to give it to Florida State. But Georgia Tech didn't have any trouble against that defensive line.
Jen, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is it annoying for sideline reporters when they're interviewing a coach and then players who know they're being interviewed on national television come in and interrupt the interview?
No. No, especially at the end of a game, because you understand that, like, the revelry, the celebration takes precedence. That's the priority.
Yeah.
So if that sort of naturally and organically happens with players and coaches and all that stuff,
okay,
you just lean into it. You let that happen. In fact, okay, it's great that you got a microphone right there so you can hear the exchange as opposed to wondering what is being said by those guys. Why did it bother you two?
Yeah, it's just us. Listen, and that guy gives you some of the best coach speak ever. It's like my son Dylan. All he communicates is in his coach speak. Dylan, what are we having for dinner? Well, we're going to try and, first of all, we're going to try and dominate the salad. We're going to get out there, you know, and it's going to be really, really good. We're going to follow that up, you know, with a chicken Alfredo, which is the backbone of our team. Nothing's worked harder this year than chicken Alfredo. And then if we get, you know, to the end of the meal, the dessert's going to be wonderful. We're going to get out of here. We're going to dominate our meal, and we're going to go on to the next day.
That's very good.
Yeah. Huh?
That's how they speak. I'm like, Dylan, it's your dad. This isn't NBC Nashville.
Yes, but he's practicing. Like I was practicing my Irish accent.
Okay.
Do you have a good Irish accent by chance?
No.
Interestingly enough here, I've gotten comments on how I've mainly removed swearing from my lexicon because I'm always around microphones. You two don't seem to have that problem, which is interesting. Because I swear way less than I did even 5 years ago, just because I'm afraid of it at all times.
Oh, you're gun shy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent every day, I'm 5 hours in a room with microphones everywhere, so it's just like, you just don't say it.
Wait, when did this start? This is fascinating to me. When did you start sort of removing the curse words, removing the profanity from your everyday language?
Probably right when I first started producing for Scalzo and Brust, because there were times where the only words coming to mind were swears, so then I'd just go silent, and you're like, you probably need to get away from that, because you're going to have
contribute.
To
contribute.
Yeah, going to have to figure out how to work around those, because especially if you're getting worked up, that's when most people probably swear the most frequently, and if like I'm in a passionate debate, I can't just be dropping F's and S's and all of them out there.
I will say, if you're hanging out with your pals, it's a pretty quick tell if somebody is throwing a curse word in every other word that they've got a flimsy argument. Right? Or they haven't fully like vetted it out yet, you know, because they're using those as fillers. So I always feel pretty confident when I get into even especially a sports debate with somebody.
Oh,
and
sure.
They start, you know, bleepity bleepity bop bada bop, and I'm like, okay, your argument is not that strong, is basically what I'm getting to. So Chu, I wanted to ask you this. When we got to Ireland the very first night, we had a very strange experience. So we go out to dinner, it's lovely. There's probably like, I don't know, 8 of us, 9 of us. Go out to dinner. We're going to hit the local pub, the one that's right next to our hotel in Ireland, right?
Yep.
We cozy into a corner booth. You know, we're all wrapped around. We're ordering a round of Guinness. Would you believe I had 0 Guinness in Ireland? 0. Not a single Guinness while I was in Ireland.
So the round of Guinness did not include you then?
Correct. I had water.
Why?
Because I'm still trying to get over this nasal thing.
Do they serve water in Ireland?
Begrudgingly. The gentleman looked at me.
Can you trust the water in Ireland?
Not that they didn't spit in it, I'll tell you that. Right?
All right.
The guy was hoping for a 9-pack of Guinness, and he got an 8-pack of Guinness. And so what does that do for the sale? So we're sitting in the corner booth, Chu. And we're all catching up, you know, it's my director, it's my producer, it's my big boss, like all that stuff. And
first game of the college football season,
yes.
You guys haven't seen each other for a while.
Catching up, you know, Jess Sims is there, she's ordering the pudding, the sticky toffee pudding. It was not good, but that's neither here nor there. The table next to us was 4 people. In-depth conversation, deep conversation, serious conversation. And the woman at the table looks over at us, stands up and goes, could you keep it down here?
Was it an Irish lady or was it a...
She was very Irish. We were in an Irish pub in Dublin drinking Guinness, and somebody, a local, told us to keep it down. That basically set the tone for the evening. Stanford Steve was there, got real angry. He was like, I'll talk as loud as I want to talk in an Irish pub in Dublin on my first night. Thank you very much. Something to that effect. Probably edited out the F-bombs that were included for the radio. Are you surprised by this? We were stunned, Chu.
What time of day was it?
9:30.
At night or in the morning?
Good. Excellent question.
Good clarification. Yes. Yeah. Great clarification.
They do drink at 9 a.m. Yeah. in Dublin.
Because if it is 9:30 a.m., yeah, then maybe keep it down just more than you would at 9:30 p.m.
Well, because you're recovering from the night before.
Correct.
Probably, right?
Yes.
And loud noises and whatnot. No, it was 10 p.m.
And she told you to be quiet?
Yes. Well, can you all keep it down? So then the bartender told us that just like traditionally, standard, Americans are louder than Irish people in the pub. And that threw me for a loop. Because every narrative I have heard of Irish people in this country, Gabe, is what?
Well, they like to get intoxicated, and then they get very loud and rowdy.
And then they like to fight.
Well, she started with the fighting.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we got... Check. Mm-hmm. That's checked
you
off.
You see
there.
How that happens.
Are you guys surprised by this? Are you guys surprised
yes.
that a table of four Irish yes. folks told the table of nine Americans to keep it down in an Irish pub at 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
Now, France, I would get it. Okay. If this was in France, then sure. England, not so much. Ireland, definitely not.
Well, really, anywhere in the UK. You go to a pub.
Yeah.
You're sitting at the bar, sitting around the bar. I mean, it's going to be loud at any bar at 10 p.m., right?
I would think.
People are out having a good time, having a couple drinks. Like, you can't be asked to keep it down.
Yeah, Irish pubs in Milwaukee are raging at 10 o'clock, right?
They're not without
quiet.
A doubt. Without a doubt, Chu.
What I find fascinating here is there's kind of battling stereotypes. There's the, you all expect the Irish people to be loud and drunk in their own bars, but then there is, and I've heard it everywhere, Americans are loud and obnoxious. That is like the prevailing American thing about us and our fast food.
By kind of. Like Europeans.
Right.
People from Ireland and
that's,
the UK.
That's jealousy though, because we're better than you and they don't like it. No, I'm serious.
The thing that
there's some jealousy
makes it strange though is like it's a bar. Like,
yeah, you weren't at like a nice restaurant.
I don't know if I've ever shushed anyone in a bar.
I don't think you're allowed to.
No.
If you shush someone, think about Milwaukee.
Yep.
Think about you're out either on Water Street or Brady Street or any of the North Avenue or any of the spots where people get together and celebrate. If you shush someone in a Milwaukee bar, they're kicking you out.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah. it would be like popular vote type of thing. Like, everybody would kind of, the record would scratch. People would look at you and somebody would grab you by the right arm and somebody would grab you by the left arm and they would politely, potentially, escort you out of that establishment.
Well, why were you fighting? Well, he shushed me. All right. Well, we got to go get him now.
Exactly.
And he clearly started it. You're not held liable.
So we got to figure out what the poll is here, Joshy, but it's something along the lines of, have you ever been shushed in a bar or... Is shushing in a bar allowed? Something along those lines. 800-990-3776. I was shocked that the game day crew was shushed in a local bar. Now, if you watch the Pat McAfee show on Friday, you know that there was no shushing happening at that bar. There
Maybe should have been.
There was only intoxication.
Is the poll question just general? Is it ever okay to shush someone in a bar?
Yeah. That's
yeah, I think, so. I think that's what
bar,
it is.
Bar, pub, to make it, like, it yeah. needs to
You
be
know
like-
what? I went over there in college. I was 19 and got proposed to twice.
What?
Over there.
Pardon?
In the pubs. Yes.
Locals proposed to you.
Yes.
Will you marry me? Proposal.
Not a lot of teeth, but yes. No, I'm being dead serious.
About the teeth or the proposals?
Both. Yeah, I was like, I'm good. But I found that kind of, I don't know. That's, Jen, an overall grade of Ireland in Dublin.
How about this? When we come back, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I will give you my overall grade of my trip to Ireland. Was there from Tuesday until Sunday. Got back yesterday at 5 p.m. I'll give you the overall grade for Ireland, but we got a lot of stuff to get to. Obviously, the preseason is wrapped. That's a wrap on the preseason for the Green Bay Packers, and there are still some big question marks about this roster. We'll get into that and the overall grade for Ireland right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees, from full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing. ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Is it ever okay to shush someone in a bar or pub? This from our experience in Ireland. The first night we were there after our team dinner, went to a local pub right next door to our hotel, having a good time, having some Guinness. And the table next to us said, "Could you keep it down, please?" And not once, not twice, but three times, someone from the table next to us. And at that point, it was like, hey, y'all seem to be having a very serious, in-depth conversation, layered, nuanced conversation. Maybe go somewhere else. You're at a bar. It's Ireland. It's 10 p.m. Go home. You know what I mean? Like, go somewhere else and have this conversation. We're having a wonderful time. It is on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Chewy, you asked for my grade of Ireland?
Yeah.
Weather was terrible. So, like, you know, this would be like if we're grading the Packers, right?
Okay.
Like, wide receivers, mm-hmm. excellent. You know, offensive line, decent. You know, all that's unknown, you know,
yeah.
all some of those. Weather was awful. Rainy, gray, cold, windy. It rained every day. The one good day we got to was on Saturday. So if you were watching College Game Day and saw blue skies and it looked lovely, that was the one day that it was nice there. Food was fine. Lots of options. We had Italian. We had seafood. You didn't have to have, like, the Irish fare if you didn't want to. But the countryside was beautiful. The roads were treacherous.
Yes.
Very narrow. And driving on the left side was very intense.
Did you drive?
I would prefer not to discuss that topic.
Okay. There was an accident.
All right. So,
okay.
I am.
Let's park.
Not allowed to discuss that topic.
How was the hotel?
Let's just say this. Here's what I will say. I'm consistent across the continent is what we will say.
So what you're saying is the goal of making it all year without an incident came to an end?
I can neither confirm
okay.
nor deny that.
Are you currently a fugitive in the country of Ireland? Because it seems like there's potential.
Ooh, that is interesting. I'm going to need to look up what the law is in Ireland before I answer that honestly. Let's move on, shall we?
I mean, I don't think we would prefer not to.
I know you would prefer to stay here, but we should keep
driving.
This
is the most interesting thing so far.
We should keep driving.
How was the hotel?
Lovely. Tiny, but European hotels are tiny. No air conditioning. Relative air conditioning, right? Like the lowest you could crank it down to was like a 70.
So this is sounding like a C.
I would say Ireland is probably a B minus. I would not go back to Ireland.
That's what
right?
I was going to ask.
Like there are places where you're like, oh, I didn't see everything I wanted to see. I didn't do everything I wanted to do. We had such a wonderful time. Now, if we had to go back for an assignment, let's say we cover the Aer Lingus, you know, college football kickoff in a few years. I'm not going to say I'll pass. Would certainly, you know, fulfill my obligations, but it's not on my now bucket list of places that I need to like bring the kids and show them the things.
Is this because you're not going to be allowed back in the country because of whatever happened
could be part
in
of
the
it.
Vehicle?
Again, I would rather not discuss that specifically. I would just let use your imagination. All right.
This sounds like a C, B minus. Like you're being nice, right?
Because she had a good time, so she wants to be nice, but ultimately, yeah. I think
look,
it's probably
I went there 25 years ago, and I don't even know if it was a C. I'm definitely never going back. And that was more food-related. You know what? And I said, a place like Ireland, I subscribe to America's the best. Why would you want to leave?
But you like to see the world, don't you? You know, you like to...
Yeah, but that's more of a been there, done that.
Yeah, you're checking it off the list. You've been to Ireland.
Yes. Yeah. Gabe, it's like a course you played that overcharged way too much.
Sure.
Nice course. Fine. Is it worth...
If somebody paid for me to go there, would I go back?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Am I going to pay my own money to go back there? Probably not.
I will say this. Dario did golf two of the courses there, and he said when we were kind of doing our little breakdown afterward that that was his favorite part of Ireland.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing I need to do in Ireland. I need to knock off a couple of those golf courses
Royal
off
Dublin,
the list.
I believe, is one that he went to. And I don't remember the name of the other one, but he really enjoyed that. I don't like this Jaylian comment, 8998, on the YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube. He says, the way you talk loud in the mic, can't imagine out in a pub, LOL. Well,
oh,
first of all.
Wait, were you the issue?
No, not at all. That's the thing. That's what I was going to tell Jaylian. It wasn't the issue. Like, it was me and Jess and then seven men, you know, and they were the ones throwing back the Guinness. Did you guys know about the splitting the G on the Guinness?
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of that before. Joshy, were you familiar with the splitting the G concept?
No, I've never been. I don't really drink them either.
Is that like half harp, half Guinness? Is that what that represents?
No, that's something else, though.
Black
Isn't that
and
a
tan.
Different?
Black and tan, there, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. No. So apparently with your first drink of the Guinness, you're supposed to take three gulps and a sip. And that's supposed to bring it to split the G on the Guinness glass, right there where that line is through the G.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be a proper first drink of the Guinness. I had no idea. So then everybody was trying to split
the G. Yeah, you're trying to get to that spot.
I had never heard that before. Joshy's in the same boat. He had never heard it before.
Is there a reason or is it just a thing?
Is that like... Every time you have a Guinness in a pub, or is that just the first time you have a Guinness?
It's a great question. These are all wonderful follow-ups. I wish y'all had been there to help me navigate this.
Well, I think it's one of those things where once you do it, like, okay, now everybody else can try to, you know, you got to match me. I've been able to do it. So I think every time then you have one, you're trying to do it until you get it done.
It becomes a little bit of like a parlor
game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a competition. So yeah, let's just say B minus for my grade of Ireland. Beautiful. We went to Wicklow one day. We went to Galway one day. We did see the cliffs of Moher. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. We saw it about a million times, the word, and no one was saying it, so we were just guessing. There are two syllables, though. I do know that.
You didn't bother asking anyone?
Nope.
Missed that part.
Hey, how do you say this word?
Missed opportunity there. Again,
were you a little gun shy because they were angry at the Americans in the pub?
No.
So then you were gun shy the rest of the way asking
now
for help?
Now we're on the west coast of the island. We're totally different. The likelihood of us running into those people is very low. No, we were getting absolutely crushed with rain. Freezing, you know, frozen rain just coming at us sideways. I'll show you the videos from when we were out at the cliffs of Mo something. It's Mo. Hair, Moher, Mower.
I've heard it as Mohair.
Well, that's a fabric they use in their sweaters, right? Mohair?
Mole?
I think that's...
Like, not some hair, but Mohair.
No, it's a real thing.
We use Mohair than they do. All right, we got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I just saw this article that popped out from The Athletic, The Tears of the Quarterbacks, NFL Quarterback Tears 2024. Would you be surprised to learn that Jordan Love jumped the most in this tiering system on The Athletic of any quarterback ever in the tiers? We'll get to that as the show rolls on right after this.
The next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Presented by Gallagher, the Bucks stars share their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. From battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story. Because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar, and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
One, I'm thrilled that the preseason is over. Show of hands, anyone else?
Oh.
Oh, I know, Gabe, you just love this.
Oh,
you're
hi.
It's like gloating.
Hello.
Over here.
No, the preseason's the best. It's great. It's
horrible.
Awesome.
So boring. So unnecessary at this point. I think the league's got to get something figured out here. We were discussing this briefly this morning, Chu, but like, did you have any interest in the preseason? Were you like, ooh, can't wait to sit down and watch the twos and the threes play this weekend?
Sometimes
against
the fours.
Yeah, there were two things that I was interested in to read because I couldn't watch the game because I was on a plane. But it's clear that Wilson's the number two, correct?
Number
two running back?
Yeah, he's the number three running back, depending upon the health of A.J. Dillon.
Are they trying to... That sounds a little pushy out the door, though.
No, they're saying A.J. Dillon likely made the roster because he didn't play in the game against the Ravens.
Yeah, but he had the stinger.
Yeah, but he's got the stinger and the neck issue, and I'm going to see a specialist.
I mean, his injury, it's interesting, Chu. It's interesting with A.J. Dillon, but if A.J. Dillon is healthy, I'm pretty confident in him being the number two. The way that LaFleur's talked, the way that the coaching staff, Adam Stenovich, offensive coordinator, have talked, it seems like A.J. Dillon's their guy.
Is that fair?
I mean, define fair.
Yeah, what are we working with here?
Is he the best player at that position behind
Josh Jacobs?
We didn't get enough. We didn't see enough of the rookie, right? The kid that they drafted.
Yeah, Marshawn Lloyd. Name?
Thank you.
In my guess, he's going to be used sparingly throughout the season, would be my guess.
I also just don't know how good Emmanuel Wilson is. Like, how much better would he be than A.J. Dillon? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's hard to get a feel for him when he's also going up against backups.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get a feel for him when he's, oh, okay, the Packers' number three offensive line did good against the Ravens' number three defensive line, and they were able to open up some holes for maybe the guy who's number two.
But I guess what I've been holding on to with Emmanuel Wilson is that when we saw him last year in sort of spot starts, he was pretty good. I thought he was decent. I thought he showed more of a higher ceiling to me than A.J. Dillon has shown recently. Is that fair or unfair?
That's fair. That's fair.
He's a 3.6 yards per carry, and A.J. Dillon's a 3.4 yards per carry.
Yeah, it's
so pick your poison.
So what you're saying is not inspired. So that's the backup running back situation, because obviously Josh Jacobs is the number one there. What's the backup quarterback situation for you two? Does it matter, right? Because I think the general thought is, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that if Jordan Love isn't under center, Packers aren't winning anything. They're not a playoff team. They're not a Super Bowl team. Like, you don't expect one of these guys to be able to carry the load all the way to deep into a playoff run. So I'm not sure that it really matters, but it doesn't feel like either one of these guys, Gabe, went out there and grabbed it, went out there and snatched it, went out there and said, I'm the guy.
Seems like to me it's going to be Sean Clifford. Because even the options that you could go out and get somebody else, they're not inspiring. They seem to be okay with Clifford being the backup last year, second year in the system. Okay, we'll just run it back with Sean Clifford. Because honestly, I don't think any of the other options that you're going to pluck off the street and throw into the situation are going to be any better.
All right, here you go. This is what a backup quarterback is supposed to do. I'm giving you four games. You tell me if Clifford could win two of them. Okay?
The answer's no.
Titans, Vikings, Rams, Cardinals.
No.
What is Sean Clifford going in that stretch?
Titans, Vikings,
can
Rams.
He win
maybe
two games?
Beats the Viking? I still don't know what they're...
Yeah, one
that's
and three.
Where I would sit as well.
Yeah, one and three.
Well, then they need to upgrade the position.
But I don't know if there's anybody out there that can go 2-2 is the issue, Chu. Like, there's... The league has a hard time identifying 32 starting quarterbacks. Now to find 32 backup quarterbacks that can go 2-2... Like, there are starting quarterbacks, too, that can't go 2-2.
And we'll discuss that because I do want to get to this list of from The Athletic where they rank the quarterback tiers where Jordan Love is. And to your point, Gabe, once you get to that fourth tier,
Right?
It gets uncomfortable. And you know what, Joshy, you experience this when you do fantasy football leagues, mm-hmm. right? Like there is a serious drop off at some point where you're going, well, that's just a guy.
Yeah, that's just a fill. He fills a roster hole. That's pretty right. much what you got.
One more question. Well, there's probably more than one, but where are we at with the kickers?
I think samesies.
Might
when
not
I say
have
samesies,
one on the team
I mean
right now.
Samesies yeah. as the backup quarterback.
Like at least there, I think they're going to do some decent searching of kickers who might get released elsewhere.
Because it feels like, Chu, you tell me if I'm wrong here, but it feels like at the kicker position, there's got to be somebody out there on the street, right? There's got to be a kicker out there who can go better than 75%, which I think at last check was kind of the numbers, the range where these guys were kind of sitting.
I think Anders yeah. got up to 81%.
Oh, okay, you're right.
And
I
then
should
he missed
give,
a
his,
32 yarder.
Give him,
yeah.
give him his flowers.
Give him his extra
credit.
6% there, Jen.
Yeah, but you can't miss a 32-yarder game. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah, it's bad.
What's the extra point?
33.
Mm. So just for clarification's sake, Joshy knew the answer to that. He was asking for effect.
Yeah,
and it
yes.
was very effective.
I think they're going to keep Carlson. Give him one more.
It kind of feels that way, Chu.
Run.
But I don't want to feel good about that.
What was the line last year that Matt LaFleur was so upset that Tom Rinaldi revealed on a Fox broadcast? Pray, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
He had
yeah.
said it kind of as an offhanded remark when they were having yeah. their meeting, and then Rinaldi used it in a report on Fox about when Anders Carlson is out there, what do you do? And he said, pray?
I think it's more than that.
It's like a good, I mean.
It's like a speed rosary.
I was just
how
saying,
quick can I say the rosary in 30 seconds?
Hail Mary, Hail
yeah,
Mary, Hail yeah, Mary, yeah. Hail Mary, Hail Mary. 10 of them, right? Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of, when we talk about question marks, look, are they set at some of the more important positions? Yes. Are we really going to sit here and wring our hands over the backup quarterback? I'm not going to. I think that it's something that they should be obviously watching and concerned with and addressing, but it's not something I'm going to sit here and get agita over as the season goes on.
True. Let me ask you this. Brett goes down. Was Doug Peterson winning two out of four games?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure? I don't know if we
hold
can
on,
trust
hold on.
Him on Doug
hold
Peterson.
On.
He's a fanboy.
True.
He's a
Doug Peterson.
True.
Doug Peterson left the Green Bay Packers to become the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. How'd that
okay.
go?
It didn't go well, but at least but at least he got the opportunity where they thought he was good enough to do it. Like, our backup quarterbacks in Green Bay during Brett's tenure were pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hasselbeck is a great example,
well,
right?
Well, Hasselbeck.
He was the backup and then went on to be the guy in Seattle.
Hasselbeck, Brunell, Ty Detmer.
Don't forget Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks was solid. We brought in Sonny Bono, who was pretty good that one year. McMahon could still sling it.
You want to know what old Dougie's record was in the 9 games he started in 1999 before
that
he came back to Green Bay?
That doesn't matter. The
Let's
fact that
guess.
They gave him the opportunity
I
to
don't
at
know.
Least
you're,
show if
you're
he could
these
do
numbers
it.
Are
putting
really
an awful lot on getting an opportunity.
A.J. Dillon's getting an opportunity. I don't see you singing his praises.
What was the question, Gabe? What was Doug's?
What was Doug's record in Philly in the 9 games he started?
3-6.
2-7. Completed 52.4% of his passes, 7 TDs, 9 picks.
Oh, we suck again.
The next year he started 8 for Cleveland. 1-7. 2 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Whoa.
Hey, all he wanted to play was 4 games.
Those,
we overloaded
those who can't
him. That
do
was the problem.
Teach.
2 and 8 picks. He really wanted to be Brett Favre, didn't he? Yeah.
Just without the touchdowns,
what
apparently.
What makes it very interesting about the quarterback and kicker to me is it's so unsettled. Like it's so up in the air that there's people talking about there's a potential they keep no backups, quarterbacks, and no kickers. And they just say, we'll find someone out in the street. That doesn't happen. Most teams aren't in that spot.
Yeah, no, most and certainly not championship teams.
Right.
I'm willing to bet they keep Clifford. I think that's a heavy favorite.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, and I was talking to it with a couple friends. Like, do you want the high variance guy like Clifford, who's going to make amazing throws, but sometimes throw it to the other team a lot, or do you want Pratt, who seems to be a little more steady and reliable? Like, what's the best option at backup?
Clifford. Sick throws.
No, but they're just trying
to have fun.
Isn't that the point?
They're going to keep Clifford and then put Pratt on the practice squad, right? That's what it seems like.
Probably.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you think that's more resolved than not resolved, Chu. It sounds like you all think this is kind of leaning one way, which is Sean Clifford being the backup.
There's another position I'm curious about. Are they going to keep three backs? Because if they keep three backs, then you have to keep one less lineman, one less receiver, or one less tight end.
Chu, I led you astray last week. So there is a new rule this year. So with Marshawn Lloyd, he is probably going to start on IR. You can designate two players to come back before the 53-man cut. So if they can throw Marshawn Lloyd on IR. Okay. But then the A.J. Dillon thing kind of complicates it all. So who knows with his stinger what kind of injury you're looking at there. But you're looking at Josh Jacobs. You're looking at A.J. Dillon and probably Emmanuel Wilson.
So let me ask you this, Gabe. Would it be stupid to designate A.J. Dillon?
Depends upon what they want to do at other positions. If there's somebody else that they want to bring back, because you only get two of those, and Marshawn Lloyd's going to take one.
Yeah. Why don't they just get rid of him? What's the big deal?
They seem to like him.
Who?
And he's very cheap. Right? Isn't that the other thing? The contract is very palatable? $1 million.
I mean, is that really a reason to keep someone around? Hey, he's cheap. Hey, why do you keep old Tom around in the friend group? Well, he's cheap. Yeah. We like him.
Well, no, friends. No, if someone's cheap, you get him out of the friend group. You need him to pick up a round every once in a while. No, but my point is they believe what he can produce, there's a scale, right? What he can produce is greater than what it's costing them to keep him around. That's what I think they've figured out.
But doesn't his contract become guaranteed if he makes the 53?
Yes, because he's vested. Yeah, he does. But
so
if there's no
you're
value,
you're going to be paying that salary no matter what the rest of the year, and you're going to have to get rid of probably one of the running backs whenever Marshawn Lloyd gets healthy.
But a guy like that brings no value to special teams. That's like, what are we doing? Right? I mean, yes, he's a nice guy. Love what he does for the community, Mr. Door County. Wonderful. But it has to translate to the field, which it does. We've been talking about this now for 3 years. 3 years.
But Chewy, he graded at 98%.
Sure. So did I. With salad and pizza. This what did that get me?
By the way.
It was what?
98.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said 93.
Yeah.
His number would be 2.5 million if he does become fully guaranteed. 0.51% of the cap.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that significant.
No, but who knows? He's the hardest one to figure out on the team. Like, they value him more, but they also are unhappy with his production.
Let me ask you this, Joshy. The way that it has shaken out, do you sort of kind of wish they had just kept Aaron Jones? Do you sort of kind of wish that they had just
for $4 million?
Come to
yes.
A, well, yes, but he wasn't going to stay for $4 million because he got considerably more from the Vikings. Like, do you sort of kind of wish that they had just been able to find a happy medium with Aaron Jones and it would be Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones?
With Josh Jacobs,
yeah,
Aaron Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
tell you this. The 4 hours there where I thought that they were going to have Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones.
I remember that day.
Was a great 4 hours.
Yes.
Damn you, Pelissero. Telling me they were keeping both.
This is the greatest 4 hours of Gabe's Packer fandom, other than when they won Super Bowls. 800-990-3776. How do you see these positions shaking out? Whether it's the kicker, whether it's the backup quarterback, whether it's the backup running back situation. Heck, we haven't even talked about how they're going to handle the offensive line. I've seen some rumors and rumblings about splitting time potentially at some of those spots as well. Lots of stuff to still get shaken out. The rosters are finalized when? Tomorrow? Is tomorrow the day they finalize the rosters?
3 o'clock.
So
tomorrow.
We will have some of these answers by then, but it is interesting to continue chatting about it up until then. I do want to get to the quarterback tiers, the interesting article that The Athletic put out where Jordan Love was last year, where Jordan Love is this year, and why he made a huge jump. Is Jordan Love worthy of the tier that The Athletic put him in? We will discuss that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here. That's because they have so many different brands. They have so many different pizzas that are going to satisfy whatever appetite you might have. Whether we're talking about Palermo's and something like their Rising Crust Pizza, Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy, and then all the different types of Screamin' Sicilian Pizza that they have, you're going to find something that not just suits your appetite, but your entire family's. And the reason why Palermo's can do this, they've been doing it for over 60 years. So of course they know premium frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
Took off. I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. What? You put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You've heard me tell you all about my garage floor and how it transformed our outdoor space thanks to the work of Showtime Floors. Their latest innovation has me even more excited. Get a sealer applied and protect your new and existing surfaces in and around your home or business. Antimicrobial, UV resistant, used by all the big guys. You know, when you're walking through the airport right here in Milwaukee, you will see Showtime Floors work. They offer a 15-year warranty on their work. You can bring the original color back. Just go to ShowtimeFloors.com to schedule a demo today. And if you mention ESPN, you'll get 10% off of your purchase. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. Sounds like Joshy had a bit of a dilemma on your hands over the weekend. Can you give us a little preview, a little taste before we get to the second hour of the show?
I have more beer and booze than we started the party with left at my house.
Hell yeah, brother.
Do you have a place for the booze?
No.
My belly.
We've gotten to the point where we're planning a second party to eliminate all the extra alcohol.
That's dangerous, Josh. That's dangerous, bud.
Why am I thinking of a movie all of a sudden where somebody comes over and they have to eat? There's all this food and they have to eat and they pull out bottles of milk.
Oh, that's Newman.
Yes, thank
in Seinfeld.
Oh, the
they
muffins.
Have all the stumps yes. from the muffins.
The stump.
That's immediately what I thought yeah. of when you said my belly. Gabe's gonna go over there.
All right.
He's
well,
gonna show up for duty, and he's just gonna start pounding alcohol to help you
the
out.
The type of friend I am, Jen. Yeah. Willing to sacrifice.
Absolutely. Hello, Newman. All right, we're gonna get to that story and the tiers of quarterbacks in the NFL in the second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.